KBPS on PRP, student radio for the city of Portland. Joe Anderson here, your host. Thanks for tuning in. Join me as we hear from students across the Portland Public School District, powered by AM 1450 KBPS Portland. For 100 years, KBPS has been the voice of the Portland Public Schools. Brought to you by Portland Radio Project, KPRP LP Portland, your nonprofit community radio station. This is KBPS on PRP.
Hello, AM 1450 listeners on PRP. I'm James with Josiah, and we're going to be talking about a serious issue about homelessness in America.
It's been a pretty serious issue overall in America, and especially in Oregon, Portland, Oregon, especially where I and James both live. For example, one thing that's kind of keeping people on the streets a little bit is a criminal record with drugs that can definitely keep people on the street. And actually, the criminal record disallows people from getting jobs. And that in and of itself can be a pretty horrible thing for a long time, because no job means that your family probably won't talk to you because of drug abuse. And then after a while, it just spirals until eventually you're back on the streets, not making enough money, and you end up just doing drugs again so that way you can feel happy.
Honestly, another big problem is, well, our government building anti-homeless structures. Like, they're already suffering enough. Why are we building stuff like this? We're just making people who already suffer more.
Yeah, didn't people start putting, like, a bunch of spikes underneath bridges so that way people couldn't sleep under them?
Yeah, they also started putting that bar in the, you know, in between benches to prevent homeless people from sleeping on them.
Yeah, which is even worse. And then I'm not sure if this is a thing that happened already, but I know that there were more laws put in to restrict homeless camps. I think it went from a 48-hour ban to being a 24-hour ban, where homeless camps can only be up for 24. Have you heard anything about that?
Well, yeah, I heard you talking about it earlier today, and that's still kind of like bullcrap. Like, why are we doing this?
Yeah, I think it's pretty upsetting in general. I think a big area of homelessness comes from, definitely, I already said this, but drug abuse and the criminal record behind it. And the worst part is that if you have a criminal record, again, already said, you can't really get with your family because criminal background. And you can't get a job, which doesn't allow you to have purpose. And so you just end up on the streets, crying, depressed, and back on drugs. And my family actually at one point got pretty close to that, where nobody was suffering from drug abuse, but my family was definitely a bit poorer than most. And for about 8 years, I had to survive off of food stamps. And it's very sad to see what our amazing nation and country has come down to.
Yeah, but it's not that with a criminal record you can't get a job, it's just that they're a lot less likely to hire you.
Oh yeah, it's bad. It's so bad. There are some jobs, though, which are very hopeful, where you can, like, I know that they're usually started by people who were in jail, but some companies will hire you some companies will hire you even if you have a criminal background and even if you've been to jail, and they usually try and, like, re-educate you, or not, like, in a bad way, but in a good way, in, like, a very accepting environment, and introduce you to a more bright side of life.
So you mean actual rehabilitation rather than the prison system's quote-unquote rehabilitation?
Yeah, and I know. Oh, here's another thing. Also tied a little bit into homelessness is that there are programs you can get into where they stop you, like they give you jobs, they give you therapy, they give you like a medicine you can take in case you're going through serious medical issues. And I forget what these companies are called, but I know that they help people who are struggling. My parents got into a few of those programs, and the problem with them is that they go only so far. So you'll make a certain amount of money, and then they'll say, you're making too much money. All of a sudden, you lose any help you're getting with your mental health, any medicine you're getting to help you, again, with your mental health. And three, it also stops you from getting any better jobs or getting therapy, anything that can actually help you. And it just destroys you. And so you'll be ending up going into the cycle of getting into these programs, getting help, and then all of a sudden dropping out of these programs because you're making too much money, going in, getting out, going in and getting out. But some people, very few, end up getting past the bar where they're making too much money, and they start, or quote unquote too much money, and they start making actually enough money to survive and buy a house, and then they get into like the middle class, the like working class society, where they can actually survive.
Another problem is, I'm pretty sure not many people know about this, because I only found out when you brought it up another time, and this kind of conversation is, well, how would most people know about this? Not many people know about it.
Yeah, I didn't even know about it at first, actually. I had to literally, the school had us do a project on serious problems in Oregon, Portland, Oregon. And so I did a project on how mental health, drugs, and police affect homelessness. And I can't go into a lot of that here because it was pretty screwed up. But I can go into a little bit of it, which is what I've just been talking about. But I would never have known if I hadn't had done that project. And it was only supposed to be for Portland, Oregon. But there's so much to go into. It is absolutely near impossible to go into that stuff. So I ended up just looking into all of the stuff outside of Portland, Oregon as well. Like, I found out about a guy who police showed up on a scene 30 seconds, right? This guy walks out of his tent. He's not doing anything. And then the police shoot him. They didn't even try and calm him down, and they said that he was approaching them with a 13-inch blade, which a lot of people, bystanders, people who saw the event, said it was false. And even the guy, he had a friend who he'd taken in who also was homeless and was struggling, and he gave him a tent and like a place to live, and then that guy ended up having to sleep in his friend's tent, the one that just died, for the rest of the night, knowing that his dead body was just outside.
I do know that there was a homeless man who got a tiny house from people, and it was like the best gift he ever received, and cops just took it away. I don't know if he got it back, but I do know that they did.
Yeah, it's a big problem in America. Luckily, Benson is a great school for sort of dealing with that kind of stuff. Some areas of manufacturing do here at Benson, I think you can start it in junior year and it ends up being a project that like continues through the whole year. You can work on engineering an actual house that somebody can live in. Usually it goes to people at the school who have less money than normal, but a lot of the time it can end up going to somebody who is homeless and like deprived of any real human interaction on the street, which is also another thing. People on the street are like, it's very sad to know that people don't treat them like humans. Like, they're another person. People are people, right? And if we can't treat people like actual human beings, then we've truly lost all humanity.
Yeah, like, certain business owners will dump cold water on homeless people here in Portland and expect to be treated like the hero after recording it and posting it online.
Yeah, it's disgusting. It's gross, and I don't even know. I can't put it into words, but it's huge. It's a huge problem. It's not only in Portland either. It's a huge problem in all of America. It's terrible.
But the worst thing is that most of the time, they won't even be able to get houses because of how expensive housing is here in Oregon.
Oh, yeah. And it's not only here in Oregon either as well. Again, that's what I was saying earlier. This whole thing is so huge. It literally cannot only be in Oregon. It is everywhere, right? So we have problems all across America where housing is way, way, way too expensive. And the amount of money people are getting is way, way too low. And we've gone past the days of like the 60s and maybe a little bit in the 80s where minimum wage was like all you needed. And now minimum wage isn't even a life wage. There are so many arguments that people go into where they're like, people should be making as much as doctors because that's, I don't even remember. It was something stupid, like doctors are the only people right now who have like a living wage. And it's so sad.
Like at the Shake Shack in Seattle, you will be making $21.50 an hour, and you still can't afford to live there. Like, this isn't even a joke.
It's bad.
And it's not even as expensive as it is here in Portland, and you will probably not find wages as good as that here in Portland.
Yeah. Well, I know that this is kind of a sad note to end it on, but thanks for inviting me on and having me be here with everyone. To make this whole, like, basically an announcement.
Yeah, we need to do something, people. Like, everybody needs to pitch in. We can get the government to do something about this. If we talk about this and the people as a collective, we can make real change.
Yeah.
This has been James and Josiah on AM 1450 KBPS on Portland Radio Project. Thank you for listening, people.
Hey everyone, my name is James and welcome. For this episode, I think what I'd like to talk about is some of my favorite Black artists in history. And today specifically, I'm going to be talking about someone who many of you who listen to rock have probably heard of before. I'm going to be talking about Jimi Hendrix and one of my favorite albums by him. So the album that I'm going to be talking about and playing some songs from is Are You Experienced? So this album is 56-ish years old now. It was released 1967. It was one of his, in my personal opinion, best albums. And one of my favorite songs on that album is a song called Can You See Me? So I'm going to play that song for you right now. Okay, and once again, that was Can You See Me by Jimi Hendrix. And I think one of the reasons why that song appeals to me so much is just the way that a lot of the riffs that he uses and the way that he plays his guitar is very, to me, it's very profound. And I really love the start of the song. It really just, it hooks you, right? It just kind of pulls you in with that really strong start. And it's strong all the way from start to finish. He just keeps going and it keeps you hooked all the way through. And that's why I love Jimi Hendrix as an artist. He manages to just kind of always reel you in with these incredible and like just super wonderful riffs that just manage to keep you hooked throughout the entire song. And another song where I think he really demonstrates this is his song Red House. So I'm going to play that song for you really quick and you guys can let me know what you think about it. Once again, that was Red House by Jimi Hendrix. And I think one of the reasons why I love that song is in comparison to Can You See Me. I think that has a more, I guess, mellow, I don't know if that's quite the word to describe it, but I guess that's the word that I'll stick by. Like a more mellow tune in comparison. and I really like it quite a bit. I think he has a really broad, I guess, spread of music, and the way that he plays the guitar, it can be very fast and like upbeat, and the pace can be just like really fast and in your face, or it can be like very laid back and mellow, and you can really just enjoy it and soak it all in. And just a couple little facts about Jimi Hendrix. He's considered one of the greatest electric guitarists that has ever lived. And I think that alone is probably one of the most impressive achievements that you can, as a musician, that you can get. And another really interesting little known fact about Jimi Hendrix is that he actually didn't know how to read music. He was completely self-taught, and I feel that maybe nowadays, maybe I'm wrong on this, but that is fairly uncommon. I believe that most artists nowadays would know how to read music, and it's quite impressive that he was completely self-taught. And I feel like this, in some ways, adds a lot of authenticity to his music, and it makes it so much more interesting for him. And since he knew how to play by ear, I think that allowed him to incorporate just a lot of other elements from other artists' music and just be able to play with that. And that kind of incorporation of other elements gave him his unique tone, and it's probably one of the reasons why he's still considered one of the greatest electric guitarists of all time. And now next up, we have my final song. It is titled Fire, and it is also all off the same album, Are You Experienced? So next up, here is Fire.
Next to your fire.
And once again, that was Fire, and I believe that's my last song for the day. I hope you really enjoyed all of the music that I've shared with you today, and I hope you really enjoyed all the Jimi Hendrix. Hopefully, if you haven't heard of him, maybe now you'll listen to him a little more, and you can appreciate him in the same way that I do. And if you already have heard of him, and you already listened to him, I hope you enjoyed the couple songs from the album that I picked out, some of my personal favorites, and thank you so much for listening, and I hope you enjoy the rest of your day.
If you'd like to support KBPS on PRP, please consider donating to Portland Radio Project. Your support of PRP helps programs like KBPS on PRP stay on the air. For more information, go to prp.fm and click the big red heart.
Hi, my name is Giovanna Ferrajaro, and you're tuned to the KBPS.AM Hour on Portland Radio Project. Today in music history, that being March 3rd, in 1931, the Star Spangled Banner officially became the U.S. national anthem by congressional resolution. Were by Francis Scott Key in 1814, set to John Stafford Smith's 18th century tune, the Ukrainian Song. That's this week's music history, and like I said, you're tuned to the AM 1450 hour on Portland Radio Project.
From the KBPS studio, it's Joe with the KBPS playlist, where a different student each week shares some of the music they are listening to right now. First up, it's Hey Little Girl by Ice House.
somebody let you in. That's nothing new. I know just what that.
Little Girl by Ice House. Next up, Technological World by Patrick Cowley.
Thank you.
That was Technological World by Patrick Cowley. I tend to love songs that are more synthish covers of 50s, 60s, 70s songs. They just tend to work really, really well, and I've featured some of those before. Up next, Modern Rocketry's I'm Not Your Stepping Stone. That was I'm Not Your Stepping Stone by Modern Rocketry. Thank you for listening to the KBPS playlist, and thank you for listening to KBPS on PRP.
Hello, this is Colby with the KBPS KBPS 1450 team. I'm here with Josiah.
Hi, I'm here.
So, Josiah, I'm just curious, what about history do you love?
There are a lot of things to love about history. I think that there have been a lot of... Really, what's happened in history is a big thing. It depends on what century, really, but there's been a lot of very, very interesting things that have happened.
What are some of your favorite stories?
The Siege of Vienna is by far my favorite because that was a situation where the Ottoman Empire raided the capital of where it was like Austria, which is Vienna. And there were only 14,000 men at Vienna, but there were 170,000 of the Ottoman Empire's troops, cannons and all, coming to attack, and they had to defend.
Do you have a favorite like century for history?
A favorite century? Oh, that's a hard one. Ooh, personally, I really like Celtic history. So before, way before Common Era, so like 2500 BCE.
And why do you like that century so much?
Because the Celts existed in it, and they are the origin to a lot of things. They created the alchemy or the alchemical symbols that we use today. They use they invented Celtic artwork, which is just fantastic. And they had a really interesting relationship with nature, where they believed that they could be on the same level with nature as they were with their like astral body, which was basically your soul. So it's definitely really weird. And then there were also it's interesting because the Romans had to organize all of the different tribes that were like Celtic or Germanic into one word, so they called them barbarian. So we have the Celts, the Gauls, the Germanic tribes, the Picts of Scotland, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And they all had their own different things. Like the Germanic tribes started off in Norway and went down into Germany, and that's where they get their name.
Do you have any like favorite stories or events that happened in like the Celtic era, century?
There was the sack of Rome. I haven't done all. I did more research personally on actually like the more literal people, not actually what they did. I did find out that they made chainmail and that they also brought soap to Europe, and probably pancakes, honestly, because they made pancakes. But also, I found out that they weren't as like barbarous as we think of them, which is, you know, we think of them today as barbarians, and interesting thing, the Viking helmet that we recognize, the one with the horns, that is actually a Celtic helmet, which would be used by the Germanic tribes, so not actually Viking related at all. The question was, what did they do? I went off track. I don't have any serious stories, but I did find out that they were a lot more hospitalic than we think. Usually, with a Celtic tribe, they would invite people in if they found them lost. And then before even asking their name, they would sit them down in a house, give them warmth, give them food, and give them water before even asking who they were.
Now, is it true that a lot of the stereotypes we hear about Vikings and their culture in general is really just made up more for media and isn't really that true?
Yeah, 100%. I already said this, but we even changed their helmets to have a different appearance so that way they seem more crazy. Also, a lot of depictions from back in the day depicted them as like demons or demon people because of how they believed that if they died in honor, which was basically just dying while fighting as hard as you could, that they would go to Valhalla. So they did not fear death, which was by far one of the more interesting things. That's why they would fight like quote-unquote demons, as the English said. But if you want to know actual information about the Vikings and the stuff that they did, The Posetta. That's like the literal best place to find anything for them. Because that was written by Snarly Starlson, and he... I don't remember how he died. I think he was executed by a king. But a lot of the depictions we get today of the Vikings were created through stereotypes that the English made.
Now, one thing I'm curious about, what's the difference between Valhalla and then just the regular afterlife?
Like heaven?
Yeah.
So Valhalla in the Vikings was that when you die, you end up in like a courtyard outside of Odin's Great Hall, which has over 150 doors, all fit for tens of thousands of men. And every day, a boar, like one of the gods' boars, dies, and it creates a meal for every single soldier who died. And so they all get to eat and drink mead and chill with their friends who also died. And then they end up every day being able to go out in the courtyard and test their fighting skills and better each other by fighting one another until every night they go in and eat. Every morning they wake up and fight. And that was like their whole culture.
Now, is it true that during like Ragnarok, they come back from the dead to fight for Odin?
Yeah, the Einar Jarl. They come back to fight for Odin. They're all those soldiers who went to Valhalla and died. And along with that, the other people who come to fight are fighting against Odin and for Hel. Fun fact, ruler of Hel is Hel, which is Loki's daughter. Apparently they ride in on a boat made of toenails and fingernails. And then they come in and fight against the Einar Jarl and against the gods.
Now, one thing I'm curious about, the Valkyries, aren't they also Einar Jarl?
Valkyries are the angels who are sent down from Odin to collect the fallen warriors and bring them to Valhalla if they deem them good enough.
So it's more of your skill-based rather than just simply fighting.
Yeah, like if you're skilled enough, or it's also whoever died valiantly. So people who died to the enemy's blade and who felled somebody in combat at least once, or just really, I have a lot of blanks, but still, you get the idea. If you died in what they considered honorable, then you died correctly and you could go to Valhalla.
Do you have to die to become a Valkyrie, or can you just become a Valkyrie?
I cannot remember how the Valkyrie were made. I don't think that people become Valkyries unless it's like what's the word? I'm blanking on the word for a female warrior, but it was like maiden or something.
Okay, so I mean that definitely seems cool. Norse mythology is actually something I've always been very, very interested in.
There are a lot of really, really weird stories. Like,
I mean, with mythology as a whole, there's always going to be weird stories. I mean, if you just look at the stories of Greek mythology as a whole, they're all very weird and very just kind of disgusting at times.
Yeah, I feel like with Greek mythology, they were just trying to like scare people with the gods and the beliefs and everything. But then with Norse mythology, they just kind of tried to make them sound hilarious. Like there's a story where Thor's hammer gets stolen by a troll, and then he has to dress up as Freya and then get fake married to the troll to get his hammer back, and he keeps on failing at acting like what they considered a woman. The first thing that he does is they have to sit down to eat, and he, like, his stomach growls so much that the guy is questioning whether or not he's a woman. And so Loki has to cover for him every time. So he keeps on dragging the troll guy into another room and being like, hey, man, he hungers so much for your love. That's why they're so hungry. And he's devouring this entire table of food. But you got to understand, it's because she loves you so much. And like just trying to show like it's out of love. It's not because they're a guy.
I mean, that's the thing I've always kind of loved about Norse mythology is that it feels a lot just kind of better than a lot of the other ones. Like, for example, Greek mythology is basically like our gods hate us.
Yeah.
And there's really nothing we can do about it besides kind of hope that they show a little bit of pity towards us.
Yeah. Well, in Norse mythology, it's a bit different. They would sacrifice a lot for their gods, so that way they could get like good fortune.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if you've heard this. This was actually shown in the movie 13th Warrior, which is a really good movie.
Never heard of it.
Watch it. It's really good, except for the armor. The armor's not very accurate. But then again, that was like the armor they thought they had at the time.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
There was no... we didn't have all of the Posetta.
Of course.
Yeah. But one thing they show is that before going on a voyage, they would pass around a bowl of water and each person would like spit, sneeze, and like basically just put everything into it, and then they would wash their face and hair. And it was gross, but it strengthened their immune system and made it harder for them to die to disease, which did not come in handy when they invaded France.
Yeah, I mean... That's the thing I've always kind of loved about history as a whole, is just kind of how disgusting everybody was, and everyone just kind of like okay with it. Like Diogenes, I'm not sure if you're familiar with him or much of his stories.
I've heard the name,
but well, one of my favorite stories of his was, I believe, it was a wealthy Athen called him a dog, and threw a bone onto him, and Diogenes' response was peeing on his leg. And when the Athen, you know, got upset, Diogenes said, "Well, why are you mad? Would you not expect a dog to act like this?"
Wow, what a way to call him out.
Or I believe it was Alexander the Great, heard of Diogenes, wanted to visit him. So he finally found him. He was laying in the sun. And when Alexander the Great walked up to him and said, "I will offer you anything you want in this world." And all he asked was, "Could you step out of the way? You're blocking the sunlight."
Yeah,
to Alexander the Great.
He literally, didn't he kill his cousin to get into power too?
I'm not sure. But my favorite thing about that interaction between Alexander the Great and Diogenes was Alexander the Great said that if he was not Alexander the Great, he would want to be Diogenes.
Yes, because that guy was so crazy. He was homeless, but he had the same mental, philosophical standpoints of any great philosopher for the time.
Yeah. And the thing is, a lot of his work, he didn't write down or do too much about when it came to his works, but stuff that like wrote about or things that he even wrote down was actually destroyed.
There was also a guy he came to during one of his lessons. He was like a philosopher. I forget the name. I'm blanking on the name so hard, but you know who it is.
I believe I do. Is it Plato?
Yeah, that's what I keep. That's what my mind keeps going to.
It was probably Plato because. Diogenes had quite a lot of interactions with Plato, calling him an idiot every chance he got.
I don't mean to interrupt you, but I do have to go. But this was great.
Of course.
This was a great conversation.
This was Colby with the KBPS team. With
Josiah.
I hope everyone has a great day.
KBPS on PRP, the new student show airing on Portland Radio Project, featuring Benson High School KBPS radio students. On air since 1923, KBPS is the radio station located at Benson High School. Staffed by students while they learn about the communications and broadcast industry. Streaming 24/7 at www.kbps.am or 1450 on your AM dial. KBPS is the voice of the Portland Public Schools. Portland Radio Project is your nonprofit community radio station, closely tuned into Portland. On the dial at 99.1 FM in the heart of Portland and streaming worldwide from any computer at prp.fm. This concludes our show for today. Thanks for joining us. I'm your host, Joe Anderson, and this has been an hour with KBPS on PRP.